Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. All right. So week three of Mads Mikkelsen. This one's going to be a slight, I'm not going to say a slight departure. I mean, it's a Mads Mikkelsen movie, but he's not in it as much as A, he should have been, B, as he was in the other two movies, especially Polar, because Polar, he was, well, the main dude in that. And then, of course, in Casino Royale, he was the main villain, so he was a lot of screen time on his own. This one is King Arthur. Little caveat on this one. Not a great movie, by the way. Fun, but not great. Had a lot of potential. Had a lot, like, on paper, this movie should have been massive. But due to, I want to say timing, probably money. A lot of it was lackluster. The story wasn't great. It was cool. So it's a alternate history storytelling of King Arthur, hence the name King Arthur, where they make him a... It's basically, it's based on new archaeological finds that they found that basically suggested he wasn't the time for... I don't know. It's weird. But anyways, so he's a Roman soldier in this versus a medieval knight. Anyways, we'll go over a little bit more of it. So... directed by Antoine Fuqua, if you don't know the name, he has done a good amount of good movies. So the biggest ones is he did the remake of A Magnificent Seven, which I actually liked a lot. He did Equalizer 1 and 2. He did Olympus Has Fallen. He did Southpaw, which is a really good boxing movie. I don't like Shooter. Shooter's a terrible movie. It's not his fault, but this is a terrible movie. He directed Training Day. He did Replacement Killers back in the day. It was a really good movie. Not really good movie, but it was a real fun movie. That's Antoine Fuqua. I think that's how you say his last name. Not too sure. Done a lot of music videos too, by the way, if you didn't know that, but that's not really neither here nor there. But yeah, he's done quite a bit of the movies. Worked with some really good people. Training Day, obviously, with Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke. Worked with both of them a couple different times. But yeah, you know, that thing. But pretty good times. We worked with Denzel because of both Equalizer's Training Day and Magnificent Seven, like four times. Anyways, yeah, so that's Antoine Fuqua. Yeah, I don't know if he says his name or not. So actors in this movie of Clive Owen, who you should know from a lot of things, but mainly you should watch from one of his best movies ever made, not King Arthur, is Children of Men. Children of Men is a fantastic movie. You should watch it already. If you haven't seen it, see it now. But he's done a lot of different movies that are really good. I will say Children of Men is like top up there. Inside Man's really good too. If you don't know that movie already, it's the title gives the twist the movie around away. It's a literal Inside Man. Other ones, I mean, he was in Born Identity. Small role in Born Identity. Let's see. Sin City, he was Dwight McCarthy. Let's see. Shoot 'em Up, fantastic movie as well. That's another movie I would have to talk about another time, too, because that's the guy who wrote and directed that is just, he has made, his career is loopy at best. But Shoot 'em Up is a fantastic, ridiculous movie in its own right. Let's see. One of the really good movies that I like. The Escape was a cool little short film he did. It was a commercial, actually, I think, wasn't it? Like based on a commercial, like an Audi commercial or something, I can't remember. That was pretty cool. Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets, he was in that. It was pretty cool. I think that's really all I want to say about Clive Owen. Oh, he's in. He was in a. What was that movie? It's gonna kill me. I should have. The International. God, I was trying to remember what it was. That was a really cool movie too. That a lot of people. I don't know if they even saw it or not. That was a really cool action flick. What I'm gonna stress is see Children of Men, and I'll talk about it sometime on this here podcast. But you should check out Children of Men for sure. Next up, we have. I want to say it's Ian, might be Ian. I'm not too sure. It's Ian Gruffudd. I know it's a really weird name. He's English. He is probably best well known for playing Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movies. I know it's probably not the best pedigree for a person, but he's no, it's not his fault. Those movies were borderline terrible. But he's been in a bunch of stuff throughout the years. TV wise, he's done a handful of stuff. A lot in his native land of England. But he did a I thought it was a really cool show called Forever, where he played a immortal, which is pretty cool. But a lot of people basically didn't like it. But it was a cool little premise, and it was really, I really wanted to see where it was going to go. But never really worked out. Never went past that. But yeah, he's I think he's a really good actor. He's been in a couple pretty good things. Movie wise, let's see. Well, I already said the Fantastic Four movies. What was the one he was in? Oh, he was in, well, the movie W. He was in something that I really liked him in, and I don't see it on this list. Why don't I see it on this list? I think he was in, am I thinking of the right movie? I'm just literally rambling right now. Maybe it's not what I thought it was. Nope, apparently not. Nope. He did the male voice of the Necromancer in Diablo 3. That's a cool little tidbit you should know. I don't know what movie I was thinking of. Oh, Black Hawk Down. I fucking knew it was in there somewhere. I was looking at this list and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he's in Black Hawk Down. There's a ton of people in Black Hawk Down, so if you don't recognize him right away, he is definitely in there. He plays Lieutenant John Beals, but he's in there, and that movie is fantastic too. I should do war movies one month. That'd be fun. There's a lot of good ones. Fury is a great movie. Black Hawk Down is a fantastic movie. Yeah, it's another month. We'll see what happens. You also have Mads Mikkelsen, obviously, why we're talking about this movie. In this movie, he plays Tristane, who is a tracker. Expertise. He has got I want to say it's a falcon. He plays a. They kind of play. I'm rambling in. I was trying to think of what I wanted to say. He plays the role of Tristane in this one. He plays a role that should have been bigger, but there's too many people, and the story is very short and is very compact, but he's a pretty badass dude. Unfortunately, he spoiler dies in the movie, he's pretty dope, and he's got the falcon. I think, honestly, it's a falcon. It might be a hawk, but I'm not really sure on birds. It's a big bird that he uses to track things, and he tracks stuff. He looks at tracks, and he's a forward in the army or in the knights, so goes ahead and scouts for everybody in the party and stuff like that. So pretty cool. Mads Mikkelsen in the movie. You have Joel Edgerton. Joel Edgerton, you should know from a couple things. One is Warrior, because it's a fantastic movie with Tom Hardy, where they were brothers who ended up being basically opponents in a UFC style mixed martial arts fight. Fantastic movie in general. Other movies he was really good in, some people don't like it, but Zero Dark Thirty, he was really good in that. He was really good in the prequel remake of The Thing. If you haven't seen the newer The Thing, A, you should. B, it's not really a sequel, it's a prequel that has the exact same thing that happens in it. I know, it sounds really weird. But yeah, he's in that. I think the first thing I remember him, well, I mean, he was Owen Lars, who is Uncle Owen to Luke Skywalker. He plays him in a small scene at the end of, he's in Attack of the Clones, and he's again in Revenge of the Sith when they actually hand him baby Luke. That's Joel Edgerton. But that's not really where I recognized him, or where I really saw him the first time. The first time I saw him, those were the first times I saw him, but really recognized him, if that makes any sense, is Smoke and Aces. King Arthur was one thing, but Smoke and Aces is where I remember seeing him. I was like, oh, yeah, this dude's pretty cool. And then, like, for the most part, he kind of, not even fell off the planet. He did a bunch of movies up until then. But I remember then when Warrior came out, he exploded in popularity and being the lead in a lot of movies. He's excellent. And he's in, Jane Got a Gun. He was really good in that, too. He also wrote that movie. A lot of people didn't like, but a lot of people did like It Comes at Night, which is a horror movie that he produced and starred in. I have not watched it, which is terrible, but I still kind of intrigued to see it. He's done some TV shows, but nothing that I think I've ever seen. He's in that too, yeah. He's a stage actor. I think that's really it for Joel Edgerton. Hugh Dancy, who is in this movie? Hugh Dancy, I think I have talked about once before on this here podcast. I could be wrong about that. I might be wrong about that. Doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, no, I talked about him because he was in Hannibal, and I was talking about that with... Yeah, so I did talk about that. Anyways, he played Will Graham in Hannibal. He is in the show The Path, which is extremely good show as well. Movie-wise, he's been in a bunch of stuff. I don't know anything that really stands out as of anything, but he's a pretty good actor in the stuff I've seen him in. He's also in Black Hawk Down, by the way, if you guys didn't know about that. That's Hugh Dancy. And you have Ray Winston, who has been in a lot of things. So many things. It's the list is varied. So many things. It's kind of stupid how many things he's been in for being someone who doesn't people don't recognize. But he's I think one of his biggest. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what is. Well, he was in Indiana Jones. In the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, he was played George Mac McHale, who is like Indy's like right hand man in that. He voiced Mr. Beaver in the Chronicle of Narnia movies. That's probably not the best one. Let's see, what other big movies was he in? He's been in so many things that it's hard to think what people might know him from. That's where I'm gonna stop. It's Ray Winston. Or Winstone, as some people say. I think it's Winston, though. You have Ray Stevenson, who is in this as well. Unfortunately, tragically, he died as well in this movie. He's best known as his role from Rome, the TV show on HBO, because it was fantastic. So goddamn good on that movie, or in that TV show. He played Titus Pulo. Then later on, almost right after, I think the I want to say right after Rome is when he really blew up. It was a bunch of years after that. Actually, is that when it ended? Yeah, it was after it ended. He did the second Punisher movie, Punisher Warzone, which by far is the worst one, not because he was in it. He actually makes a really good-looking Punisher and a very convincing Punisher. That movie's just off the rails, crazy, and not great in a very bad way. He was in Thor Ragnarok. he was in the Book of Eli. He was in Three Musketeers, the terrible one. He's in all the Thor movies, I should say. I don't know why I said Thor Ragnarok. He plays Volstagg, he's one of the knights warriors three that hang around with Thor. Big guy, eats a lot, has a beard, uses an axe. Let's see. He was in the Divergent series, which I didn't know until I'm looking at this list right now. So there's that. Oh, he's in The Other Guys. If you guys haven't seen that movie's fucking fantastic. He's a bad guy in that. He's been in a bunch of TV shows. He was in Black Sails, if you guys haven't seen that show. The last two seasons of that. Pretty cool. What else? He was in 9 episodes of Dexter. What are another TV shows? Oh, he was on an episode of Walking Dead. It's Waking the Dead. He wasn't in Walking Dead. Waking Dead. What's Waking the Dead? I don't know what that is. Should literally look this list before I start reading it, huh? I think that's really it for big stuff. Oh, he did stage stuff too, but not a bunch of it. But yeah, that's Ray Stevenson. I like that guy. Last two is Keira Knightley. Obviously, most popular things from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, as well as The Legend of Bagger Vance. I think she was in that movie too. But she was the decoy queen from Star Wars Episode 1 of Phantom Menace, one got blowed up. That was pretty cool. Really good movie, The Jacket. That's a really fun movie too, if you guys haven't seen that one, with Adrian Brody, one of his best movies, if you ask me. A lot of period pieces. She was in one of the Jack Ryan movies, Shadow Recruit. Some people like this movie, Seeking for a Friend for the End of the World. Some people like that movie. I think it was terrible. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's... you know her from Pirates of the Caribbean. That's all I really had to say. I don't know why I delved more into it. And then you have one of the guys I forgot was in this movie, and he plays the villain. So well, by the way, but that's because he's Norse. Stalin Skarsgård, who is Alexander Skarsgård, as well as Billy Skarsgård's father. Not just them. He has Gustav, Walter, his two other sons. But he has 8 kids. But those are the ones you Alexander and Bill. Alexander Skarsgård famously was in True Blood. Now he's in Little Liars. Is that what it's called on HBO? I haven't watched it, but apparently it's really good again. He's a scumbag in that, I guess. Or a misunderstood scumbag. But he's also... he's in Battleship. I love that movie. But he's most known for being in True Blood. Playing Eric. Bill Skarsgård is the new Pennywise in the It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. And he's fantastic as well in all the stuff I've seen him in. But Stalin Skarsgård he's been a lot of things. Most notably, he was in the Thor movies, the first two. He plays Eric Selvig. Is that his name? Oof, I should probably know this. Selvig, Eric Selvig, in the first two, I guess Avengers 2, so he was in the Avengers as well, but what I really liked him in, and it was a couple years ago, was the American, I guess you could say, remake of, or English remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I thought was a stupendous movie, and I really wish they would have continued on and not waited and then skipped, like, 4 books forward for the newer one, but whatever. Yeah, he's in that. He's actually coming up in the star-studded Dune remake for 2020, where he plays Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, I believe is his name. I should look it up. Harkonnen, that's what it is. Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, who I believe is one of the main villains. It's been a long time since I watched Dune. And I'm going to read the book soon. That's fun. I have like 2 years to read it, so... well, I say 2 years. I have this year and until whenever it comes out next year. So I guess a yearish or so to read it, but I'm going to get to it. I'm going to rewatch the first one, too, with Sting and that guy from Twin Peaks. Yeah. So, yeah, he's in this movie. He's also in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. If you didn't know, he played Bootstrap Bill Turner, who is Will Turner's father. A lot of people don't know that, by the way. Oh, yeah, he's Angel of Demons. I forgot that, too. He's been in a lot of good movies, man. He's a really good actor. And he's really good in this, too. He's really spooky in this movie as the Viking king. I guess it's king? Anyways, he's a Saxon, as they refer to him. Who I believe are Vikings. And that could just be me being completely fucking stupid. Saxons are from Norway, right? Am I wrong on that? Later called Vikings. Boom. I was right. I'm not stupid. That doesn't actually prove anything. I had to look it up. But anyways, they're Vikings. They pillage and rape and kill and burn shit. But yeah, the cool thing about this movie is they tried to basically set the lore of King Arthur and make them real people. And it's basically these, the Roman Empire stretches out and takes all these lands and engulfs their people. And one of the wars they get in, amongst them is, the Sumerians? No. Sumerians, right? I think it's Sumerians. Anyways, so when they have that, they basically make the thing saying to the survivors of this battle, say, hey, like, when we call upon you, you have to give us your firstborn son, and they have to work for us guarding and being in our army. So... the story is narrated by Lancelot, who's played by Ian Gruffudd. I don't know his name. Gruffudd? I don't know how to say his name. I don't know why I keep butchering it. Anyways, and he, along with Mads Mikkelsen, Joel Edgerton's characters, Hugh Dancy, Ray Winston, Ray Stevenson, and I think that's all of them? Yes. Six of them are the knights of the Round Table with Arthur. Arthur being played by Clive Owen, who's a Roman soldier or commander at this point. And basically, they become these knights that are in their 15 years of having to guard this keep on the wall, protected from the Britons and other invaders. Their deeds become legendary and spread through the land, and they become essentially larger than life characters. So once everyone sees them or hears their name, they're like, "Holy shit, that's Arthur!" And then basically just trying to make it like a real thing. The movie is telling you that. In 15 years, they get granted the freedom, and their freedom is this thing where they can roam anywhere they roam. Anywhere they go inside the kingdom of Rome, they will be seen as free men, not invaders or anything like that, even though, 'cause they're not Roman. So to work this off, they have to survive for 15 years at this outpost and doing things for the Roman Empire. And then basically on the last day of their freedom, the night they're supposed to get their papers, they get tasked with one more mission that's essentially a suicide mission, to go and save this family, mainly the son of the family, who's he's a pupil of the Pope's and potential future cardinal, as well as Pope, maybe Pope himself. And so they have to go this, but the six knights are very upset at Arthur because he essentially agrees this, but they kind of have to because their papers are being held by the cardinal who is there, or bishop that is there, kind of forcing them their hand. And then basically the Saxons are known to be coming, so they have to get there and get this family back. And then when Arthur gets there, he sees that the Roman guy who's there has been mistreating the people of the land, so he feels that he needs to save them all, and then that slows him down. They have to fighting the Saxons and all sorts of like that. And there's a big battle at the end where at one point they free Keira Knightley's character, who plays Guinevere, who is a Briton. And she, there's Britons, by the way, in this movie are like savages and things like that, wild people. They're not sophisticated like the Romans. So she joins them reluctantly. They join forces with Merlin, who is her, I think, her father. I'm not too sure. They don't really specify. And they join the forces of Arthur and his knights, along with the Britons, to fight off the Saxons by using trickery and brute force and fire to trick them and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's King Arthur. Fun movie to watch. Not great. But it's fun if you like a adventure movie. Could have been shot better. I don't know if... I can't say cinematography was terrible, but there's a lot of scenes which would have been really good for a wide-angle shot, because there's a lot going on. Maybe they depth and narrow because they didn't have nearly as many people as they could have been using, but to me, this would have been better. But the other thing crazy about this movie is it's written by the guy who wrote Gladiator. So, and again, on paper, like I said, it should have been a fucking blockbuster, but it was kind of not great. So, you know, that sucked. Anyways, yeah, that's it for King Arthur. And for the third week, part three of the Mads Mikkelsen month. Next week, we get into Valhalla, which is a tremendously violent movie, starring Mads Mikkelsen as the main character in that movie. We'll talk about more next week. As for my reading, I'm still reading The Passage. I've been a little slacking on my reading, unfortunately, this past week. Plus, it's a really, really long book. Like, long. Let me pull up the actual... Oh, sorry. Oh, God. I had a burp that didn't make it up all the way, because I tried to hold it down. Let's see. It is 700... Well, hardcover is 766 pages. The paperback is 879 pages. It's a very long book. It's very interesting and very fucking weird. And I got to a part today listening on my way home from work. Shit's really ramping up and characters are dying that you didn't, in weird ways that you didn't see coming. And a lot of, like, things that are making me think that the television program will, A, never do, but also just fucking ruin. Because I think it could have been really compelling if they would have just been able to do more with it. And I think, unfortunately, having Fox be able to be doing the adaptation really, really hinders it. It needed to be put somewhere where someone's going to put a lot of money into it. Because it's... I really do enjoy it, and it's fucking crazy. Like, crazy how this movie fucking turns. It's just so nuts about how this movie goes. It's so crazy. But, book. Did I say movie? Book. The way the book goes. I was reading a thing about the movie. Like, I guess it was going to be a movie at one point? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, I did read that right. Movie rights, yeah. Back in 2007? When the fuck did this book come out? That was newer. Oh, 2010. What the shit? But it's 3 years before it came out? Holy shit! That's nuts! 3 years before the book was actually finished. Oh, and oddly enough, John Logan, one of the writers of Gladiator, was gonna do the screenplay. Wow. They're gonna do one movie? You're out of your fucking minds. That would have ruined everything. Wow. I did not know that. Anyways, the TV show, I don't know how good it's doing. To tell you the truth, I have no idea. I watched the first episode, and I was like, this is a pretty cool concept. I started reading the book, I was like, they missed completely. Like, completely. Well, it's still got good audiences. Over 3 million viewers, U.S. Started really high. The pilot was at 5.23, then it dropped a whole million, and then dropped slowly, but it's been, well, I guess it's been dropping and dropping. Yesterday's episode? Oh, yesterday's episode hasn't been given the numbers yet, because it was yesterday. But 3.66 million viewers, U.S., watched episode 5. I'll say this, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. I'm going to bring it up tomorrow on the main podcast with the guys. I don't think they've even started watching, but The Umbrella Academy on Netflix is really fun. It's a really cool TV show based on a graphic novel that is, A, I should have known there's no fucking way they were going to do what they did in the comic book, because again, it's comic book, and the comic book is just straight ridiculous. It's fun no less, and the first episode, if you watch the first episode and you're not kind of like super intrigued on what's happening and all these characters, you're probably not going to really go further than that, but it's on Netflix so you can binge watch it. But get through like 3 episodes and you'll really be interested in seeing what's going on. I know about the characters already because I read the comic book. I know what they are and who they are. But it's really interesting the way they did it in the show versus the comic book, because there's a lot more mystery amongst the characters themselves to each other than there ever was in the actual in the book. And there's some really weird reveals. And the villain is introduced in the first issue. It's been a while since I read it. But anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow on the podcast with the other guys. But as for today's podcast, we are finished. We were talking about Mads Mikkelsen in King Arthur. And that's it for this week's episode, everybody. As usual, this is The Awesome with Cody, and I'm your host, Cody. And I'll talk to you guys next week. And as usual, I said that twice. Ugh, that's terrible. Anyways, let's be awesome.